the phrase mind of Christ, what does it mean? And how can you get it? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thank you for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we discuss what is the mind of Christ and how it relates to your deeper Christian living. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about how I show up in the world and how I reflect the love of Jesus Christ to others. And I thought, hey, let's talk about it in the podcast. This is the perfect place to dig into something like this. So to get us started, let's look at 1 John 4:17. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. So I interpret that to mean, as Christ is, so am I. Those are such simple words that seem so impossible when I say them out loud. But I know all things are possible for him who believes. So I know that if God says it, it's true. As Christ is, I am in this world. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 2:16, where Paul writes to all who believe in Jesus. He says, we have the mind of Christ. But what is the mind of Christ? Well, I recommend looking to Scripture to help interpret Scripture. And that's what we're going to do in this episode. And I hope that as you journey with us through the conversation today, you'll see that if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you already have the mind of Christ. And as you dwell with him daily, the mind of Christ impacts what you think, what you say, and much, much more.
That is so true. It's such an exciting topic. It really is. And it made me think when I was preparing for this, you know, what does the mind of Christ mean to me? You know, I thought it was a good question. And so if someone were to say, and this might seem like a little weird example, but if someone were to say, what is the mind of Jo Heather? Well, besides sounding, like I said, strange, you would automatically what? You would look at her character. You know, how does she project outwardly what's inside her? Because I can never know Jo Heather's thoughts, right? But I'll know what she said. I know how she behaves, right? And so that would reflect what she might be thinking and what's in her heart. Right. So we can use the same method when we look and we ponder, you know, what is the mind of Christ? We can look at what is the character of Christ? You know, what did he say and how did he behave? You know, that's recorded in the Bible. I mean, Jesus spent so much time expressing his thoughts to us. He wants us to know him. It's not a mystery. Right. He wants to reveal himself to us. But before we jump any more into this topic, I want you to hang on a second because I want to be able to take a moment to make sure you know how to find us every week. So depending on what platform that you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this episode, share a podcast with your family, friends, a coworker that needs some love and encouragement. And the Lord will put it on your heart, you know, at the appropriate time if you need to reach out and say, hey, I have the perfect podcast for you. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access every Wednesday to both video and audio. And if it's too much for you to go to our website, we don't expect you to go there every week. Sign up on our email list and I'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. So I'm going to pass it back to you, Jo.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. Thanks for telling us how to stay connected because we all need that. So back to our topic. What does Scripture say about having the mind of Christ? So it feels like a pretty deep subject. So I think it always helps to break it down into chunks to help us navigate through it. So to start at the very core, Jesus Christ died on the cross to make atonement for our sins, and he was raised from the dead by God. And God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Obviously, you can find this written about in Ephesians 1. But if we then move in your Bible to Ephesians 2:6, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So this says to me that we already are united with Christ when we come to believe in him and his finished work at the cross. And it makes sense to me that if I'm united with him, that I'll have the ability to think like him through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God in me. And Tammy did a great job of illustrating that just a moment ago. So for me, the first part is this. To have the mind of Christ is about your way of thinking. It's about how you perceive divine things and how you understand spiritual truth. And that's all done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the mind of Christ involves wisdom from God. This wisdom means you can discern or perceive spiritual things. You can only do this when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to make a way for you to have eternal life with your Father God in heaven. So you have to accept this free gift first. And when you accept this truth, Holy Spirit becomes a part of you. God lives in you as Holy Spirit, and through him, you can recognize things in your spirit that you would have never recognized before. It would have just been impossible because you have different eyes to see, basically, spiritual eyes. So here's another insight about having the mind of Christ. Once Christ impacts your thinking, he's reflected in what you say, because obviously the words that you say start in the mind. So Paul writes about this wisdom from God in the words that we speak in 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." Then the mind of Christ is reflected in our understanding. So Paul writes in verse 15 of the same chapter, "The person with the Spirit can evaluate all things, not just some things, but all things." So that means the mind of Christ enables us to ask questions, to search for answers, to discern or understand truths. So for me, having the mind of Christ impacts the thoughts we think, the words we say, the questions we ask, and the answers we discern.
Now, you did a really great job of laying that out. It was very insightful. Yeah, because it's a complex thing, right? But it needs to be made simple, right? And discernment of the Holy Spirit helps with that. And I agree, just like you were saying, that Jesus, you know, he came to go to the cross to pay for our sins. But he also came to teach us about the kingdom of God, right? And like Joe Heather was talking about, we're talking about the Holy Spirit a lot today. You know, he sent us the Holy Spirit to what? To teach us all things, to be the comforter, to be the teacher, to testify to the word. And if you look at these verses in the book of John, I'm going to read a few of them here. We're going to start first here in John 14:26. "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And then you drop down another chapter into 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then again, he jumps down another chapter in John 16, verses 12 through 15. And I just love this chunk of text. It's one of my favorite little go-tos in the Bible. So it says in verse 12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." That's exciting. "He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." If you really dive into that section, it's very powerful. What's that saying? But I want to focus here about when Jesus said to his disciples that he had so much more to bear. Now, have you ever thought about that? Can you imagine I would like to know what else Jesus had to say, but they couldn't bear it. He was getting ready to go to the cross, right? But he made a point to speak to continue to speak to us. It's the Lord hasn't, he didn't stop with the Bible. He didn't stop when he went to the cross. He gave us, he promised that he would give us. And he made it a point to go to, you know, look at these over and over again to say, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Because he wants to what? He wants to continue to say those things that you couldn't bear to hear before, right? He has so much to say to us, and he speaks to us through his word. So, you know, as we were talking earlier, when we get born again, we are given the Holy Spirit. And we have, like Joe Heather was talking about, we have that special connection, right, with the Lord. He is in us and we are in him. That's a really hard thing to wrap your brain around. How can you be in somebody and they be in you at the same time? But it's a beautiful connection. It's a special bond that the Lord has provided for us who put our faith and trust in Jesus. So, and I want you to remember that in the beginning, right, we were made in the image of God, as stated in Genesis. But when we get saved, we are a new creature in Christ. This is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I just love that. But have you ever thought it weird? I thought it weird. I think there's a lot of things that I find weird in the Bible. And these are the things that I go and I ask the Lord about. You know, new creature. Now, he didn't say you become new humans or new people. No, he said you become a new creature. Now, I started thinking, well, what is a creature, right? Besides like little creepy things you see crawling around the forest. So what is a creature, right? It's something that describes a new thing that we don't have an earthly name for. So think about that. We become something that in earthly terms and worldly terms, we can't describe. So this is something from heaven. We become something from heaven that we can't even describe here on earth. That's how special that it is. So when we read the word, now remember, Jesus is the word. Now you might be thinking, what are you talking about? Jesus is a person, you know? But if you look here, I love the book of John. If you don't know that about me, it's my favorite book in the Bible. So in the beginning, in the book of John, it says in John 1:1, this is the very beginning of the book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you talk about John the Baptist, but if you jump down to John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. That's Jesus. That's exactly what that, there's no other way to interpret that. Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word. When you talk about the living Word of God, this is where that comes from. It's the living Word of God. It represents Jesus. So Jesus wants us to know him. And the best way for you to discover, we're talking about today, the mind of Christ, it's by reading and meditating on his word. And as you read, the Holy Spirit that he will give you, right? When you become born again, he gives you this Holy Spirit. Remember, you become a new creature in Christ. And then through that relationship with the Holy Spirit reading his word, you will get a revelation on the word. You have to understand the word. It's not just a mind thing. You have to have a revelation and understanding of what the word means so that the word, which is Christ, can become alive in you, right? So that's what the whole process of reading and understanding his words is so that you can have, you know, understand what the mind of Christ is. We are created in his image, including his mind. He didn't just skip that part, right? But we have this worldly thinking because we're in the world. We are in the world. We are surrounded with the way that the world tells us how we're supposed to think. But the word tells us how, as born again believers, that we are supposed to think. We're supposed to think like the kingdom perspective. And when we do that, we can be transformed into his image. But so before I hand it back over to Joe Heather, which I'm excited to hear what she has to say next, I want to pause for just a moment and let you know that Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored by our very own Joe Heather Dotson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Are you ready to discover what's next in your life? As a credentialed coach, Joe Heather provides a sacred space for you to discover the answers you need for your work and your life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. You can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. And if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Thank you, Tammy. Wow, I was just really blown away by what you just shared of your discovery of the word creature, you know, and how being made new in Christ is beyond our human words. And I think I really want to meditate on that. And I encourage our listeners to really meditate on that scripture and that truth and to see what it means. You know, what is the Lord saying to them about that? And so kind of continuing, you know, in that vein, you know, having the mind of Christ, you know, means that you are equipped to be a part of a plan that is way bigger than yourself. I mean, we've talked about following the Lord's leading in several of our episodes, if not all of them, somehow or another. But perhaps, I mean, if you're honest with yourself, this is your chance, just between you and God as you're listening. If you are rebelling against obeying God's call on your life, you know, what are you holding back? You know, what would it be like to make a choice to humble yourself and to be obedient to God's call on your life? You know, through your obedience, you would have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to become a part of something way bigger than yourself, because being a part of God's plan is so much greater than anything you could ever ask or imagine on your own. Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So with the mind of Christ, I encourage you to allow yourself to be filled with that desire to share in God's plan and in Christ's purpose to seek and save the lost. And again, it's not something you have to keep clawing after. I mean, you come to that saving knowledge is what I'm talking about, that saving knowledge of who Christ is, and you will be transformed and the mind of Christ will be yours. And maybe this all sounds very intimidating. I understand. I looked in the Believer's Bible Commentary, and I really love what William MacDonald had to say when he defined the mind of Christ. And he said it was this, such simple words, to see things as he would see them and to respond as he would respond. So if you are a believer, you can rest easy. You have what you need to be God's hands and feet in this world. You have it because you've been equipped by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Father God, right? Now, one thing that we haven't touched on today, but I do want to deviate slightly and mention, is spiritual warfare. Even though you are saved and marked for eternity, the enemy wants to distract your mind through thoughts and feelings that take you away from God's call and purpose for your life, that distract you from resting in being a part of the mind of Christ. And these, you can resist these attacks. Don't be afraid. You have what you need to resist the attacks from the devil. And you can do that with everything Tammy's been reading today, I've been reading. It's the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So just use God's word to keep feeding your mind the truth. You already have the mind of Christ, and you are already equipped and ready to serve his kingdom today. And you're fully equipped because, as where we started, as he is, so are we. You've got what you need to have the mind of Christ through your belief in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And you know, as you were thinking, see, the Lord works in us as we do these episodes. You know, I was thinking, if you don't really even know what the mind of Christ is, and maybe you're looking at your life and you're looking at Jesus' life and you're thinking you're not really, you know, how do I have the mind of Christ? Look at the way I live or whatever. You can ask the Holy Spirit to work in you, to say, Lord, how can you make me more like you? You know, how can you teach me to be more like you, to have the mind of Christ? You can ask the Holy Spirit that. We were just looking at the verses of John. Mm-hmm. It glorifies Jesus to make that truth known to you. If you really want to be able to walk and be like the Lord, which is what we're supposed to be when we get born again, you ask him. Let me tell you, the Lord, when they talk about dancing in heaven over you, It's when we ask the things that are good that he wants for us to do. And so that just came to me, something that you can ask the Lord and say, how can I be more like Christ today? And you don't have to wait. You can start today. When we finish listening to this podcast, you can go have a word with God and you can start living a better life of having that renewal of your mind through the mind of Christ. So, amen.
Amen.
I'm all fired up. All right, so back to, if we have the mind of Christ, which is exactly what the Holy Spirit leads me, we should be exhibiting the character of Christ, right? Meaning we should be speaking and behaving representative of the mind of Christ in us. So I talked earlier about that people who, you know, they can't read our thoughts, right? But our words and our actions, they reflect outwardly, you know, what we're thinking. So a good verse for this is Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. Now, I'm not going to focus on the last two. They seem a little strange for some of you that are listening in, right? I'm going to focus on the first one, which is what's it's relevant to what we're talking about today, which is, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Did you catch that, right? It didn't say as he thinks in his mind, but in his heart, right? Our hearts and minds are connected when Christ Jesus was sharing about himself with us. I believe that when Jesus was sharing things about him, that he was sharing his heart with us. The mind, and the revelation I got with that was that the mind of Christ is also the heart of Christ. You might be thinking, well, where are you getting that from, Tammy? Well, just look, where there would be no reason to believe that the thoughts of Christ and the heart of Christ would be in conflict with each other, right? Because your heart and your mind are connected. You know, you think what's in your heart, and the things that are in, you have to be careful, the things that come into your mind can take seed and go into your heart. So I believe that there was unison in that. So when we're talking about the mind of Christ, we're also talking about the heart of Christ. When he was telling about himself, he wanted you to know his thoughts, and he also wanted you to know his heart. So now, so it brought me to this next question, which is, so let's just say you'd met somebody on this world who'd never met Jesus, who'd never heard the word of Jesus, never read the word, didn't know who Jesus was, and he asked you to describe him. You know, he would be like, you know, what is this character? Who is this Jesus? What is this character? Describe to me, you know, what would you say? How would you describe Jesus to somebody who's never heard of him? Well, you would go, it's a great exercise, and I encourage you to go ahead and take some time to write this down. Go through the scriptures and write down when you find a verse that describes the character of Jesus. It's full of it, you know. So I got five here that I wrote down to kind of get you started on kind of what came to my mind as to how I would describe the character of Jesus. All right, number one, he is loving. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Number two, he is forgiving. Luke 7:48, Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Number three, he is compassionate. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Number four, he is giving. John 17:22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Number five, he is powerful. Matthew 9:6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. It's in quotation marks. He says, he saith to the sick with the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go out unto thine house. So, and the list can go on and on and on. But the other thing that's important about this list is you make this list, and then you say, you know, how can I be like that? You know, how can I take this? How can I be more like this? This is a good example, an exercise to look at the character of Christ, and then look at, well, how can I be that way? So I suggest pulling from the list, you know, maybe one a day. Make it simple. We're not asking you to do a lot to start with. Just simple. Pick one a day and reflect about how you can have that Christ inside of you in the way that you act out. So maybe choose giving. That's a pretty easy one, right? Giving. How can I be giving in one day? Well, you could probably do this for a whole month and not run out of ideas, right? You can go through your closet and pull out your clothes. Well, you know, who could use this? Ask God. Who could use this sweater, right? Maybe you could give your time to somebody. It doesn't have to be material things. You can give your time to somebody. Maybe somebody, you know, needs to go have coffee because their husband's, you know, in hospice. They just need a break. You could give that person your time for the day. I'm sure the two of you, you and God, right? Because you're supposed to be talking to God, right? You can come up with at least one thing a day. And then take that list and rejoice over it because you are learning to reflect outwardly the mind of Christ in your life.
Yes. Amen. You know, I think you've given us some great words to meditate on and a great way to go about this, you know, because Tammy's done a great job of talking about, you know, having the mind of Christ means you show up differently than you did before. You're going to have different qualities. So it takes us back to the potter's wheel that we talked about in the Renewing Your Mind podcast episode, you know, a few weeks ago. If you haven't heard that one, you know, be sure to check it out. You can go back and see those on our YouTube channel or whatever service that you use. Because it's about us being willing to be shaped into a more refined vessel that's useful to the kingdom of God here on earth. So Tammy's given you some examples. You know, I also think about when you have the mind of Christ, you might notice yourself having more consideration for what's going on for others rather than just thinking of yourself. Because sometimes when we're a baby Christian, you know, we haven't gained all these qualities or lived into them or even understood it, because that's fine. When I say a baby Christian, I mean, you've just come to a saving knowledge. Even though you've just come to the saving knowledge, let's say it was during this podcast, you figured out I need the Savior, that the full-fledged Holy Spirit is now inside of you. Full-fledged. You don't get what they used to say in my son's basketball team. You don't get a JV Holy Spirit. You get the whole Holy Spirit fully in you. So you now have the mind of Christ, but maybe you're going to notice over the next week where you used to just think about yourself, you start thinking about other people and you're like, oh, I noticed the difference there. You know, because Philippians chapter 2 speaks of having a mindset like Christ. And of course, that reminds us to take comfort from his love. You know, and it speaks to maybe it's tenderness for you or compassion. You know, being like-minded with Jesus in humility, or maybe it's other qualities, things that Tammy mentioned. You know, I encourage you to read that chapter this week and to talk with God about the qualities of Christ that you are going to live out each day. And Tammy's already asked the challenge question of the week. You know, what is it going to be to have the mind of Christ in your life? What is that going to look like for you?
Mm-hmm. And I always say it every week. It's a good question. And I think it could be a daily question. I mean, why can't you wake up every morning and say, Lord, how can I be more like you today? Show me today one thing I can do today to be more like you. You know, because I do. I love all these. Joe Heather puts a lot of thought into a lot of these questions every week. They're deep ones that help you grow, help you to really, when you ask questions, you know, it helps you to discover more things about the Lord and about the Word and about the Christian way of living. So I know we're getting ready to wrap things up. So to recap, back to where I started, when I gave that strange example of the mind of Joe Heather, you know, so, you know, how I can't know her thoughts, you know, but her words and her actions, you know, reflect what she might be thinking. So I gave that example so we could try to, you know, get like a little bit of an example of what it might be to have like the mind of Christ, how we can use that same method to ponder, you know, what is the mind of Christ? We can look at Christ's character, which we talked about, right? What did he say and how did he behave? Remember, he wants us to know him so much so that, again, he sent us that Holy Spirit, right? The important part of understanding the mind of Christ. Now, in closing, though, I do want to close with a very special passage. And I hope when I'm reading this that it meditates, you know, inside of you, and the Holy Spirit testifies to it, because it's a powerful verse. It's actually three verses. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 through 12. It's two verses. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, right? So that we may understand what God has freely given us. Do you understand what this is saying? We don't have to guess. Not only can we discern from looking at Jesus, the way that he behaved, the things that he said, the way that he's recorded in the Bible, right? But we have the Holy Spirit, the amazing Holy Spirit that's a gift. It is a gift from God given to us so that we may be able to know the mind of Christ. I'm sorry, that's just an exciting note to end on. I'm just so excited about this, being able to share with you guys Because it's really, this is what our whole Christian walk is really founded on, is being more like Christ. I mean, we're disciples of Christ. We're supposed to be his hands and feet, like Joseph was saying, out into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really hope that today you've come away from this episode with a new perspective on what it means to have Christ's love in you, because this is all coming down from heaven. You're giving this out of love. You're giving the Holy Spirit out of love. Christ wants you to know. He didn't just die and go to heaven and say, see ya. You know, no, he wants you to know him, right? To have that deeper relationship with him. You know, and I just, wow. I do really hope that it blesses you and that you will be able to understand and on a journey, it's a continual journey, to have the mind of Christ in you and to be that light out into the world. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen and amen. Wow. Wow. We hope today's episode blessed you greatly. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And join our email list by visiting loveandencouragement.com to gain early access to each episode. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.